We're back now on this Agriculture Today. As we near the end of this calendar year, a number of important farm management items tend to build up that need addressing by producers, and that would include end-of-year tax management. We've invited over from the Kansas Farm Management Association here at K-State its Executive Director, Kevin Herbel, and Associate Director, Mark Dykeman. Kevin, going to ask you a very generic question, but it's always an important one. As we head into a new year, what do you consider, given the current economy and agricultural country, the important factors in the financial environment that producers are facing?
Certainly, Eric. And as we start to look at that, maybe just from a broad perspective, what each producer needs to look to do is identify their greatest risks and what can be done to reduce or manage those risks. They've likely heard whether it be an economist on the radio, whether it be their lender, speak a lot about the importance of working capital, having a strong position for their liquidity position, looking at their current assets, current liabilities. Having a strong working capital will give them a lot of flexibility as a producer. Having a weak working capital removes that flexibility. Strong working capital puts a producer in charge of the timing of what they do, rather than having circumstances or needs be what dictates that. And along with this and understanding their financial position would be having appropriate debt structure and addressing any changes that are needed there. What is their equity position and how does that allow them to make decisions and complete the activities they do as they look to manage their farm operation, both finishing up this year as well as looking forward to next year.
And aligned with that, and you've shared this in the past as well, having a full understanding of one's cash flow and what sort of liquidity, if you will, they will need in the months ahead.
Yes, Eric. You know, whether or not something they do on the farm is profitable is certainly important and necessary. But making sure the cash flow works, the timing of those cash flow needs can be met is very important. You know, looking at input purchases, need for debt payments, need for expenses that are covered both on the business as well as in their personal expenses, things that are periodic in nature, that aren't occurring regularly throughout the year, mm-hmm. having a plan in place to meet those needs. And certainly one way that can be very effective for them to have a better understanding of that is to complete a projected cash flow for the coming year. So knowing their financial position from a standpoint of the balance sheet and where they're at, but also taking the time to sit down and look at what they're expecting to do, what their plans are for next year, and identifying those cash flow needs and the timing of them so that they can be in a better position when those needs come along.
What about thinking ahead to capital investments, machinery, facility improvements, and so forth? This would be a great time to start getting those well in mind, would it not?
That would be true. And looking at the time we're at now in our current financial environment in agriculture, a lot less machinery and equipment upgrades and purchases have been taking place. There's been a reduction for many, many operations related to that. And I think in the midst of a tighter cash flow situation, the importance of planning toward machinery and equipment purchases, facility updates, all those kind of things, having a organized plan in place, identifying what are the greatest needs. Not just thinking them in your head, which we all do that regularly, but actually writing them down, listing out what are the capital improvement, the machinery update, the purchase needs that we might have. Knowing and understanding as they make that list, they likely can't accomplish that list in a tight cash flow year. But as they make that list, then having the ability to prioritize and identify in what order will I want to meet these needs and what are the ones that, you know, maybe they had a year where they did have some better yields. Some instances where livestock production and such was helpful. But if they are in a position where they're able to make some machinery, equipment, upgrades, purchases, to prioritize those and make sure they're using those dollars in the most efficient, most effective manner.
And we will bring Mark in to expand on this, but end of year tax planning, that has to be front and center as well.
Well, as we come to the end of the year, it tends to be something that everyone thinks about a little more. We have a year where for many it's been a lower income year, and oftentimes people will kind of turn the other way and say, well, tax planning is not so important because my income's down. But we really want to remind them of the importance of tax planning, even in a low income year, making sure they're assessing things properly as they look at what's ahead of them.
In an article you recently put together on this, Mark, you noted that farm tax planning is pivotal in good years, but also in not so good years.
That's correct, Eric. In lower income years, oftentimes, as Kevin mentioned, we don't put as much emphasis on year-end tax planning, but there are some things that can be left on the table that we want to try to avoid. In particular, net operating losses. If someone is facing a net operating loss for the year, and we know that ahead of time, there are often things we can do to avoid that. When a net operating loss is created, things like personal exemptions and in some cases standard deduction are not, you can't utilize those. So those are things that are left on the table. If we can at all possible bring in more income or adjust our normal year-end spending to increase income, we can avoid some of those situations.
So there is still time to make said adjustments.
There's still time to make adjustments, and there's farmers have plenty of options in what they can do to adjust. Obviously, the selling more inventory, if available, is always an option. Delaying prepays of next year's crop inputs, potentially an option, depending on when discounts from vendors are available. But we also should look at some off-farm sources of income to try to potentially eliminate that net operating loss.
And those would include?
Things like a rollover of an IRA, from a traditional IRA to a Roth, which is a taxable event, might be possible if we're looking at a negative income overall. We can plan for something like that and get that conversion made with little to no tax consequences. Other capital assets that might be held, non-farm capital assets like stocks or mutual funds or something like that, selling those and with limited tax consequences may offset some of that net operating loss and be beneficial in the long run.
Mm-hmm. How about selling commodities still in storage on hand? Grain, of course, comes to mind immediately. That's often used as an end-of-year tax management strategy. Given the intent here of avoiding a net operating loss, would you adjust that plan as a producer in any way?
That's a really valuable tool that producers have in the flexibility of that sale. Mm-hmm. And if someone's able to meet with their tax planner and do some tax planning before the end of the year, that might give them a good idea of how much to sell and what to target. If they don't have that opportunity to meet ahead of time and plan ahead of time, using deferred grain contracts is a way to create some flexibility after the fact. Mm-hmm. So if grain is sold in 2017, using a deferred payment contract, payments received in 2018, the farm business owner has an option to determine when that income is taxed. They can elect out of installment treatment of that deferred grain contract and actually tax that the proceeds of that grain sale in 2017 rather than when the cash was actually received in 2018. So that after the fact planning gives us a little bit of flexibility if someone doesn't have the opportunity to meet with their tax planner or tax preparer ahead of time.
So keep that in mind. One other thing that you propose, again, in this article, and it's worth considering here, producers and others, for that matter, do have options as far as filing those tax returns, and those can be managed to one's advantage, you say.
That's correct. So a normal non-farm either business owner or tax payer is required to pay tax as they go throughout the year, either through withholding from a W-2 or from quarterly estimated tax payments. And of course, farmers can make those quarterly estimates as they go and pay ahead, and that allows them to wait until April 15th to file the return. And like everybody, if you owe tax, you're gonna wait till the last possible minute to pay and file. One popular option with farmers is to forego those quarterly estimated tax payments and file their return by March 1st. But we run into some issues with that. In particular, brokerage firms that send out a consolidated 1099 often don't get those out until the middle of February. By that time, that gets in the hands of the taxpayer and then to the tax preparer, we're pushing up against that March 1st deadline. So one option that seems to be more popular now is one estimated tax payment paid January 15th. And that would allow those farm business owners, those taxpayers, to wait until April 15th to file the return. And a final option is just ignoring the requirement to make those estimated tax payments completely and accepting that there's going to be a little bit of penalty at the end when it comes down to it. sometimes, depending on the situation, the penalties and interest that they get tacked on are lower than what it might cost you to borrow the money if you have to use the operating line of credit for the proceeds. So it might make sense to just accept those penalties and pay the penalties and interest.
Lots of possibilities, a number of details, of course. You flesh all of this out with your tax advisor. Good dialogue here, gentlemen, on these important matters for producers to keep well in mind as we roll into a new year and contemplate how to navigate this agricultural economy, which is posing more than its share of challenges currently. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you.
Over from the Kansas Farm Management Association, the executive director and the associate director of the KFMA, Kevin Herbel and Mark Dykman, respectively. You're listening to Agriculture Today, and we'll be back shortly on the K-State Radio Network.